Good evening, and my name is Don Castor, and I am speaking to you this evening from Dublin, Ohio, where I've had the pleasure of having a beautiful day today with this summertime, and I know that those of you in Australia are leaving your summer, and I apologize for that because it's not as much fun, and certainly those of you in the South and the Florida area or California area don't enjoy summers as much as we do in the cold area. So anyways, life is good and everybody's in a good mood. Wanted to talk to you this evening. I wanted to have a good conversation with you this evening about your business and some understanding and information and attitude about your business, because I think over the time a lot of us have struggled with the idea of owning a business. And I want to talk to you from the standpoint of designing of a business. And I think if you've had any education or been through the process at all of a business, one of the things that will always come up is a business plan. Well, in Sunrider, we have a business plan, and that terminology relates to how we are paid for our activities. But I think as independent business owners, we need to look beyond that and have an understanding of what goes into a general business, but more specifically the Sunrider business. And there's probably three key areas we need to address. One is time, two is budget, and three is having a plan on how to accomplish this and set this forward. And if we can do those and you can accomplish those, I think you have a greater opportunity for success. The first that I find to be the most troubling or the one that people struggle with the most has to do with people struggling with their time. They establish the concept of owning a business and like the ideas about it. They love the idea of the independence and all those things that we talk to people about, but they really don't sit down and understand the time it takes to do this. For years, I think people have been attracted to multi-level marketing businesses because the perception has been that one can earn a good stable income, good solid income opportunity, be very successful, and yet not put much time into it. And it's kind of like the dream that's given. Well, I guess my attitude is that the greatest dream we have is living in a free society. And about everybody on this call this evening lives in a free society, one that allows us to expand with very few limits on the way in which we live and how we live and the income we can earn. It doesn't mean it's easy. It just means the opportunity is there. And all of us know of countries where that is not even an option. Having the opportunity to talk to people from, just had a great conversation with somebody from Burma the other day and what they go through in their country, particularly since they were of the extreme minority, less than 2% are Christian, and the kind of persecution they go through just for not believing is the way the government wants them to believe. Our countries that are listening on this call have the ability to have this kind of freedom. But with that freedom comes responsibility, and understand that to own a business, no matter what it is, there has to be a time factor attributed to it. Now, that is something that I really suggest people do at the very get-go. What time do you have free? What time do you have between the family, between church obligations, between social obligations, between work obligations, do you really have? Do you have an hour a day? Do you have 5 hours a day? Do you have 30 minutes a day? Do you have no time that you're willing to give up? Once you've established that, you build your business upon that, and you literally discipline yourself. Where I've seen people struggle or fail is when they get into this independent environment. The discipline of being at work at a certain time, punching a time clock, or being required to sit at a desk from time to time, from 8 to 5, when that's not there, people's personal discipline wanes and it becomes difficult for them to achieve success, where they say, well, between 12 and 2, I'm going to work on my Sunrider business, but between 12 and 1, they're too busy straightening up their paper clips, organizing their files. That's not really productive work. So we have to begin to think in terms of our time as every minute, every hour, every day that we put into it has to have a result, and that result either has to be the consumption of a product, an introduction to a person, follow-up to a purchase, something that creates involvement with the consumption of that product, because we are, in fact, about consumption. We cannot think of our business truly as a service where people are having the advantage of owning a business, and therefore it's a service, and therefore it takes care of itself. No, we have to be involved on a regular basis in some capacity. So number one, identify your time. Be realistic. How much time do you have, can you spend, and are you willing to discipline that? Or is it going to become a secondary importance where something always takes priority? When other things in your life take priority over your business or your income, then it will fail. And that is a decision you have to make. It's not for us to determine for you. Number two, budget. And budget, again, not of time, but this has to do with more in terms of income. You have to sit down and you have to determine what exactly you're going to budget. In other words, how much money are you going to expend on things such as personal expenses, such as samples, literature, product, business cards. When you look at your expenses, what's it going to take in terms of travel, long-distance phone times? Do you feel it's important that you have a separate phone, like a cell phone would be the most reasonable way to do this, to operate this business? And you have to figure out what that cost is. If your intent is never to have any samples, you want to pay for no literature, you don't want business cards, you don't want to put any money into it, you're going to find a direct correlation between your expense versus your income. Now, when it comes to the amount of sales it takes to create a profit, it becomes slightly bit more complex. But let us try to understand that profit really is expenses plus income, and that drives your sales. In other words, how much product must be consumed in a month so that after expenses, the income is what you want? So it kind of goes backwards. If you say that I want or need an income of $900 a month, well, you need to study the plan to determine where that $900 comes from. Add to that what you consider the expenses to be. And let's say for $900, your sales need to be in the neighborhood of $5,500 at retail. That's just a number I pulled off the top of my head. And you're going to spend at about $150 a month in expenses. Well, for your income to be $950 plus your $150 expenses, $1,150, you're going to drive your sales from $5,500 to maybe $6,200. Look at the amount of money you feel you need to make it worth your time, add to it the expenses, and go backwards to determine about what the sales need to be. That's where your established goal is to begin with. If you set an unrealistic number like $10,000 because that's just a nice number I'd like to have, that's fine. You do the same exercise. How much time is that going to take? How much am I going to have to spend on personal expenses, whether it be travel, whether it be gas, no matter what it is, and then go from there. The expense that a lot of people seem to forget about is their taxes. You will have an income from this if it's greater than your expense. Your time is not an expense in a business like this. But gasoline, cell phone, literature, business cards are. And you can go about 3 to 5 years where the government says that you're building a business. After that, it becomes a hobby. So you can't constantly do this as a loss. I mean, that's just that's a phony concept. You know, if you want, again, $1,000 a month in your pocket and you have $300 expenses, the check from Sunrunner's got to be $1,300. So just always remember that formula. I've seen a lot of people get themselves in trouble because they don't prepay their tax every quarter. They don't keep up on their sales tax. They just don't do these things because they don't have business experience. And then come tax time, their accountant hands them a bill and say, I don't have that kind of money. Because you not only have your income tax as an individual, which you may or may not be able to guess, but you've got the other portion of Social Security tax, not only the 7.5 or 8, whatever it is that you pay, but the other half that your employer normally pays, and a few other little taxes like Medicare that come in through there. So you may end up having another 12% on top of your income tax that you're not thinking about. So general rule of thumb is I always tell people to put away about 25% of their check at the bare minimum. That's the bare minimum. That's if you're only in a 15% tax bracket that needs to be put aside for taxes. And if you're not doing that, then you're obviously struggling. So therefore, when you look at your Sunrider check and you want your income to be, we'll go back to that $900 level, and you take 25% of $900, you're looking at about $225 plus miscellaneous expenses, let's say it makes it up to $300, then your check can't be $900. It's got to be $1,200 because you have to put $300 aside. So just do the simple math. It's not complicated. But remember that the check that you would receive from Sunrider is not your income. That's the money they pay you for the result of your sales. After your expenses, that's your income. So if you're not paying your bills regularly and putting money aside, approximately 25% out of every check that you're not putting aside, then you're going to find yourself in big trouble when you do your quarterly taxes, when you pay your sales tax, or when you actually file for your income tax. There's not a huge advantage to forming corporations like people think for tax purposes. Those are just legal liability or exposure liabilities from legal issues. Seek the advice of an accountant, obviously, on these issues, but I wanted to give you the correct interpretation and understanding so that people have the basics. Now, that's where the third point of this process in the business is, that you need to understand the plan. Now, this would fit for any kind of business, what I'm telling you so far, but what is important in our plan is to learn the plan. Know the advantages, know the disadvantages, know the pitfalls. I'll give you an example of a pitfall. For years, everybody was made an IBO because the company required it for bonuses, and people became IBOs who had no interest in ever building a business. They just wanted to buy product. So they were a consumer. So we sold them on the idea of being an IBO because they got a better price, and then we were price-driven. Understand when you're looking at your own principles and philosophies of your business, which is something we really won't get into too much tonight, but on your own principle and philosophy, this isn't a Walmart. You're not trying to have the lowest prices in town. This product is not right for everyone because of price or because of what it is. But where you find somebody where the price and the product fit their need, then you can't sell on price, because in our plan, the IBO makes as much money or takes away profit from you. You don't get the extra 10% on the sale price from an IBO. And if they don't buy 100 in the month, you don't receive the extra 5%. So it costs you about 15% of what they buy when they're a customer, but they're listed as an IBO. So when you talk strategy and you understand the plan, know what position they come to the company as. People struggle with the idea of somebody paying retail. The reason for the $500 to reach the 10% customer 500 deal is because you reward your good people for purchasing and give them a price. Here in Ohio and in the Midwest, this was the cradle and the beginning of the gasoline for groceries deal. Kroger's and Giant Eagle were the two that got into this battle here. Giant Eagle's out of Pittsburgh, Kroger's out of Cincinnati, and it spread across the country, where people are, you know, taking a dollar off a gallon for their gasoline based upon their grocery purchases. It's a rewards thing. Well, it drives people to do that. They might spend $100 a month more on groceries to save $90 on gas. They may not have figured that out yet, but it feels good. Well, in our business, for us to say, well, I don't want you to pay retail because that's not right, you're saying I have enough income that I can afford to take that away. Remember that our retail prices today, as a general rule, are less than what the IBO price was 3 years ago. Because of that, our incomes have been affected, and the outcome of your income will become dramatically affected if you don't adapt to the plan. So the key point under number three, which is plan, is to know it and to learn it. And everybody joining your business should come in as a customer. You want them to come in and buy from the company, or you want them to come in and be set up in such a way that you can order for them online so that you get credit from the company, so that you track their purchases. You don't want to get into bookkeeping. That's an expense. If the company tracks all their purchases, then they buy it from you. Every retail purchase, you're going to earn 20% on. Now, there is a tax, and there is a shipping cost to that to the individual who buys from the company. But there should always be a sales tax. For those of you that are paying their sales tax, you've now taken between 5 and 9% of your income and given it away. If you're just having the and you have a vendor's license and you're not paying the tax, then you're asking for serious problems. So the easiest thing to do is always let the company collect the sales tax for you, and that's just a pass-through expense. That has nothing to do with you. And everybody pays sales tax on items they buy, and nobody enjoys it. So you've got to kind of get comfortable with that idea, saying, geez, we just have to vote a new governor if we don't want sales tax. That's the only answer you can give somebody. When it comes to shipping and handling, if somebody buys $50 worth of an item at retail, you're going to get $10 back from that. And the question would be as to whether or not you have an interest in giving them something for that effort, that $10 you made. If not, it has to be part of the shipping. You'll learn that the discipline of that in the long run is going to make you for a solid, steady income. You don't want to be in the business of hand delivering, in my opinion, nor do you want to be in the business of hand shipping. The reason is that comes out of you and creates an expense for you. And we think that it's going to affect our sale, but remember that nobody who's ever had a box of Fortune Light before knows whether it costs $3 or $30, knows whether its value is $3 or $30. And we have a tendency to judge it based upon what we think people are willing to do. And I'll always tell you to go look at the Starbucks of the world, to go look at some of the vitamins in the health food stores from some of the top lines today, and realize that a $30 to $50 bottle of vitamins is nothing today, that a $4 cup of coffee is the norm today, that a $10 box of tea is nothing in the grocery or health food stores today. So be careful how we judge what people will spend for quality. When people enter as a retail customer and follow the system the way it's set up, where they buy, and as the more they buy, they get a better discount, then your business will become solid, because the money that we were earning in the past that was paid to us in bonuses has now been shifted to this program, saying that if somebody's a customer and you sell them at an IBO price, it will cost you 20% of your sales. So if you're doing 3,000 SV today, which is about $6,000, you know, 6,000, which is 3,000 SV times 20, is about $600 to $650 a month, and that's what people have lost on their checks. Understand that we've taken it from an automatic payment to you to an available payment to you. And availability is the key. Okay, so if you understand the plan and you understand that bringing people through the system that pays them from retail to customer 500, the only people that are going to become IBOs are ones who want to do the business and own a business, that are willing to set up the time, set up a budget, and work the business. If they're not willing to do that, there is no upside to being an IBO. And when you give them the automatic discount of 10% or 20%, which is what they get as an IBO, that is your 20%. Just understand where it came from. Because no matter how you price a product when you're a manufacturer, you build in everything from advertising cost to shipping cost to display cost to retail a profit, etc. There's not a thing you buy in a retail store that's not marked up 3 to 6 times, depending on what it is. Produce is a little more difficult because that usually goes right from farmer to market, but it's marked up at least twice from what the farmer may get. You know, corn might be so many cents a pound, and it sells for a heck of a lot more than a store just because of the people that handle it. Don't be naive not to think that that's how this is set up. So by taking away some of the markup that was going direct to us, we now have to fit it into our own business. So know the plan, know how it works, know the pitfalls, one pitfall being the IBO. Understand truly what profitability is. So when you're determining what you're going to make and what you need to make, what you want to be your quote-unquote take-home pay, make sure that you understand what your expenses are. And not only when you ship to somebody or you have shipping come to you, the other advantage of the program the way we have it is when people buy from the company, they've cut you out of it, and therefore it should be a better price. I have a separate price list that I use when people, because of habit for the last 25 years, wish to buy product from me. 25, heck, I'm way beyond that, aren't I? I think I'm up to 29. That people by habit still buy. I probably still have about $300 to $400 a month that's sold directly to the consumer. I have a separate price list. And that price list is based on a factor above retail. Why? Because there has to be freight factored into it and my time. You see, my time is worth money. And a customer is one small element of my business. The other, or I should say one important element to my business, the other important element to my business is the IBO building a business like mine. I'm running two separate businesses, one of which is building my own customer base up where I want to be between $6,000 and $10,000 a month in sales. The second is where I want to have at least 10 to 12 people doing over $3,000 a month and helping them to do the same. Two simultaneous businesses. The one business on the retail side where I may have to be involved because I need to get them the product, ship it to them, you know, who knows what it might be. In some cases, still delivered to some of my very senior customers. Are going to pay for that because of a different price. I don't want to show a shipping cost. I don't want to show a handling cost. I'll show sales tax. And I have a separate price list I use for those people to be able to receive and for me to be able to be profitable, which kind of builds in my time factor and my energy factor. If people say, well, geez, is there a better way to get a price? Absolutely. You can buy directly from the company. And then that gives them an alternative rather than saying, well, I don't want to go through that. That's fine. This is the cost. If you want to go through that, this is the cost. And they'll say, well, geez, it was like 20% less. And I says, then it could be 30. Because if you buy 500 like you've been doing, you even get a better price from the company. You don't have to find me. There'll be a shipping charge onto it, but it's still going to be less than what you're paying. And they'll go, oh, that's an alternative. It becomes a viable alternative. When you don't make it an alternative for them, they're going to keep doing what they've been doing. And if you get to a business like mine that has thousands of customers in it and hundreds of IBOs who are business leaders, you don't have time to service every single person without hiring somebody, and that comes directly out of your profit. So build to where your future is going. If you look at yourself of desiring a $5,000 to $25,000 a month income, you don't want to do that through extensive labor. This business could be run individually by the internet, by the phone, by personal contact without having employees. That has got to be the ultimate goal, not shipping a product, basically not handling a product. If you're a broker, for example, in the grocery industry or in the clothing industry, you'll make 3 to 4% on some purchases. You'll make 1 to 2% on other deals, meaning you might sell Walmart 2 trailer loads full of something, and they'll pay you 0.5% for that. But you're happy with the money you earned because all you did was set the things up, put the two people together, and the product got delivered. You know somebody in China who manufactures it. They get the guy together. You work with a third person who puts on a boat. It comes there. Walmart sends you your percentage, your commission. Well, that's essentially what this business is and always has been. We've dressed it and flowered it and perfumed it up a little bit to smell different than what it was. But trust me, that's what it is. Well, we make good percentages on what we do, but it's based upon volume. What isn't based upon volume, that's the IBO side, the business leader side, is based upon profit like a store gets. So that's why I tell you, realize you're running two separate businesses. They can be run simultaneously and they can be run with a little effort, but they have to be run correctly. So handling the product takes away time and effort. You must have product present for sampling. You must have product present for demoing. You must have product when somebody says, I'll just buy a box out of you. Not a problem. That's why in part of your business plan, which is still part of number 3 in your plan, is what are those products you're going to promote? And I still think Fortune Delight is an excellent starting point. It gives you a story to tell, a product to sell, and a simple ability to demo by taste and communication. You could be serving Fortune Delight while you're talking to somebody and you've got half the demo done and they don't know what they're involved in. The idea being the simplicity and the simple pattern, light, easy to ship, easy to pass around, easy to carry in your pocket, doesn't get sticky, all kind of positive things to Fortune Delight. It allows you to tell the story about the whole company. It allows you to open up the opportunity to talk about a company that has over 400 products that they manufacture themselves under the strictest conditions, totally integrated from manufacturing, from growth of the plant all the way through to distribution to the customer, an extremely unique business model in the world today, and you can be a part of that. If a person doesn't have the interest, then you can consume that. And by buying direct from the company, you have a tremendous savings over dealing with somebody like myself or the inconvenience of trying to go to a store. Those are simple terminologies that can be used. But you yourself have to have an idea what you're doing with your business. It's not difficult because obviously the company has a web page set up. They have the telephone set up for people to order. We do have the simple Fortune Delight business pack, which means somebody that wants to do the business, become an IBO, buy the Fortune Delight business pack, can start the business by just that. And the knowledge of the product is, what do you do with it? You put it in water and you drink it. Why? Great antioxidant. Helps with longevity, sleep, energy, all that kind of stuff. Great product, great substitution product in place of drinking conventional iced tea, in place of drinking coffee, in place of drinking soft drinks. Benefit. A zero calorie, great taste. You know, you can go on to the reasons why somebody can do it, but the number one is convenience. And when somebody looks at all of those and goes, yeah, those are pretty compelling factors. How do I get it? You can buy it right here from the company. I can give you an 800 number. I can set you up through an order through a system that makes it simple, which obviously is why you'd want to have a web page so that people can go through there for you to get instant credit, make it work right. And you're able then to build a simple, duplicatable business. Let me make a comment about the webpage. At the convention in July, that information will be released as to where we are in this process. To get what we want the page to do required some major restructuring of what the company was doing and how they were doing it. And that will be revealed in July as to where we are in that process. We will see what we will have and have a real good idea when we will have it. It isn't that they're being dormant on this. They brought in an outside consultant to handle just this individual project, really sharp young man who's got great ideas, understands the webs, the internet, and understands people. So this is a really good move on the company's part to get this accomplished. Jonathan Chen, the youngest of the five Chen children, heads up the entire computer department, really got a good head on his shoulders, know what people want, also understands this is like building a 25-story office building, and it doesn't happen overnight. As much as we think buttons are flipped, like everything in life, it takes human involvement. This business requires your involvement. That's why I go back to the 3 points, your time, your budget, and do you know the plan? And along those lines, the plan, what are your goals? That's the long term. How much time do we want to put into it this year, 5 years from now, and 25 years from now? There'll never be a point of zero involvement, so get that out of your head. That idea that somebody else does all the work and you do nothing isn't true in this regard, but it is true in the sense if you set everybody up to buy from the company, your day-to-day involvement, you being at the phone at 8 in the morning to take orders, is gone. That's handled by the company. This can be a seamless, energetic business, and your time is strictly focused on the building the customer, dealing with their concerns, and helping the IBO become a business leader. That simple pattern can be done. The idea is that it can be done with a little effort and energy is the falseness that's occurred too many times in business and has had so many multi-level companies fail. Two things fail those companies: an untrue statement about the amount of work and the inferior product quality or the lack of uniqueness of the product. We don't suffer from either one of those. What we've suffered from recently is the plan adjustment for pricing purposes that's taken the immediate money away from the business leader to the point where he has options on how he earns it. And we're going to have to spend another probably year to adjust our businesses to earn that money. Most of us haven't lost that many customers because they keep buying. The ones that have left are the ones that were the IBOs who wanted to do the business but didn't like the structure. This structure has allowed people to do a business on a long-term basis using modern technology and using the same high-quality product that's always been there. Those of you that have done the business one-on-one don't have to change. I strongly encourage you to look at the prices you charge. You don't ever have to charge what the company says is a retail price. You can charge less. You can charge more. Charging less makes you less. That's a very simple process. If you don't have the price list that I'm talking about and would like it, don't hesitate to write to me. I'll send it to you electronically, and you can adjust it any way you like. I simply mark the product up approximately 20% over retail, and then or 25% I think it is, and then I take 10% off of that for my very good customers. That's the price list I use when somebody comes to see me. They don't ever see what Sunrider puts out as a price list because that's a direct price. There's no such thing as a direct price if you're buying it from me because it's not direct. So it's just a matter of understanding how the principles work. I really appreciated you spend some time this evening to listen because it's a matter of us just trying to get our heads right on what we're supposed to accomplish. It may not be what we've done in the past. It may not be how we want to do it because it doesn't seem as comfortable, but it's important that we continue to work together to get a good understanding. I appreciate your time, and I'll look forward to having you back on the call the first Tuesday in July when we're going to discuss some of the basic principles and ingredients of our products. Thank you so much. And let's have a great evening. Good night.